broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Liberty Roundtable Live. This is April 15th, tax day. You're supposed to pay the government your taxes. I believe the income tax is unconstitutional. I wish President Trump would shut that sucker down, but I don't hear a word of it. He's delayed it for 3 months, and good on him for doing so. Nevertheless, the government's paying you. Did you get your check? If you haven't, they've even got a check tracker so you can find out where your cash is from the government. The biggest.
Please send that to us, Sam. Post
the biggest redistribution of wealth the country has ever seen in the history of the nation. Now, people are starting to be more and more and more concerned, and most of them are jumping on the bandwagon now because they see the dishonesty. I've been concerned for weeks and telling you so. A lot of people have been mad at me saying, Sam, how dare you go against the president? Sam, we just disagree with you. Sam, you're kind of crazy. Sam, you're full of conspiracy theories. Sam's, where's the evidence for this? Where's the evidence for that? And I believe I've been fairly grounded with evidence in my reporting. Of course, the debate rages, and Americans are divided. In fact, the biggest people divided now are the Patriots. Patriots before couldn't agree on anything. You think it's bad then? It's 10 times worse now. And so it's getting crazy in the Republic. And it's gotten to where we can't even disagree agreeably. We've got to simply throw down and divide and melt down and break ties, it seems. Sad to say, but we see that everywhere. Now Ron Paul is reporting pretty boldly, Kurt.
Very good, Sam. He says, as I've shouted from the rooftops since this whole corona crisis panic began, the authoritarians, big government statists, and global elites would lock arms in dire predictions and drag the country off a cliff. All so they could seize more control over you and me and have an excuse for the stock market roller coaster and funneling massive amounts of our wealth to their politically well-connected cronies. The public face of it all, of course, Dr. Anthony Fauci. Fauci and his cabal of authoritarian bureaucrats have been wrong about coronavirus all along. It's painfully obvious they blew things way out of proportion, but the Washington, D.C. swamp and the media elite continue to blindly accept Dr. Fauci and his ilk's fraudulent predictions, and those fraudulent predictions seem to be the excuse government goons need to seize total control over the people. That's why last week I urged President Trump to fire Dr. Fauci. Sam, I'm worried my calls to fire Fauci will go unheeded unless I can count on your action and your immediate support today. So I'm asking you personally, won't you sign your Fire Fauci directive at once?
Okay, could I sign that? I got that done. Did you sign that?
I got the other one signed. I didn't sign this one. You
okay,
know,
hey, man,
I mean,
you
I got the
up,
one
buddy.
From Matt Staver. I mean, yes, sir. Well, it's hard for me to keep up with you, Sam.
It's not me. This is Rand Paul. I have nothing to do with it, Kurt.
Well, I know, but, you know, me keeping up with you is just not
I didn't get the
I
briefing watched for an hour, but I did get this signed. Right?
Very
it's just
good,
the
Sam.
Difference of what we deem important. That's all.
Yeah, well, I know. Got to straighten up. As you'll see, this directive
Why? Hold on. If you think it's perfectly
President
important
Trump.
To watch the briefing and, you know, not get caught up on this email from Ron Paul, that's your choice, Kurt. Everybody has a choice to decide what they're going to watch. A lot of people were watching Fox
see
and
the
Friends.
Email from Ron Paul.
A lot of people were
it's
watching
the division
Fox
of labor here at Liberty News, Sam.
A lot of people were watching Fox and Friends, and they were watching Rand Paul on there, which we'll get to coming up. I didn't get time to watch that either. So I'm not, you know, this isn't a matter of if you, you know, don't spend your time as Sam does that you're wrong. Okay, this isn't like that. Everybody's got to decide where they're going to spend their time, right? All right, go ahead, Kirk.
Yes, sir. As you'll see, Ron Paul continues, this directive insists President Trump reject the path authoritarian bureaucrats like Fauci have plotted for America and instead embrace the principles of liberty which have brought us through peril time and time again. The truth is the extremes authoritarians are taking to enforce social distancing are unnecessary. But Fauci and his ilk, and by the way, Ron Paul is a physician, but Fauci and his ilk insist we must turn the country into a virtual police state and become a de facto socialist nation. Already we've seen local level politicians attempt to shut down Gun stores, government restrictions made by decree on travel, the shuttering of businesses deemed, quote, non-essential, unquote, and effectively prohibiting religious gatherings. Now authorities are ratcheting up enforcement by conducting warrantless compliance checks and issuing fines to citizens who dare leave their homes for such dangerous actions as watching a sunset.
Anyway, but he goes on. It's really long, but I wanted to highlight this. Uh-huh. And the reason that I wanted to highlight this is because I believe that me and Ron Paul and others who are signing this petition are absolutely defending President Trump. We're merely saying that, hey, Fauci has ran this thing off the rails. Fauci has done it before, as James Edwards has wisely pointed out. Fauci needs to be fired yesterday. President Trump wants to reopen the country. Let's back the president of the United States of America and help get us back to work. Okay, I brought this petition to you guys because I believe it's worth signing, and I believe Ron Paul has highlighted it. Hey, the swamp's trying to run us off a cliff. Now, whether Donald's part of that or not, I don't know. In my personal opinion, if I have to weigh in on my thoughts on the matter, I would say that President Trump is not part of the cabal. I would say that he's done the best he can. But when you get lies from supposedly trusted people, such as the WHO, the World Health Organization, and Fauci, and many of these people, it's very easy to go, oh my gosh, we got to panic and I got to do something. And you know what? The president can't afford to get it wrong. Right? I mean, I would not want to be in the president's position. And that's why it's very easy for people to armchair quarterback and criticize. I'm defending President Trump here right now and saying, hey, I believe he's been deceived. And I believe he's been influenced by the wrong people. I believe his intentions are good. And I believe he's meant well. But I think he's taken this way too far under bad advice from folks like the WHO and Fauci and others. And I would pray that the president would fire Fauci and surround himself with people who I believe are a whole lot more grounded. Ron Paul, Rand Paul, Dr. Shiva, this doctor that I don't know about, this state senator from Minnesota. And we can go on and on, but get Candace Owens or Sam Bushman or some of these other people on his team. Have a few of us take on the media and discuss it. Look, Sam Bushman and Candace Owens could take on the media like no other, baby. And you'd have a black female and a white blind male taking on the press. Okay, they'd try to turn it into a racial reality and they'd get so spanked it wouldn't be funny. We could literally turn this thing around and back the president like you wouldn't believe. That's what I am talking about. And I believe out of the information that we're receiving, that the information that Ron Paul, Candace Owens, Matt Staver, the current U.S. Surgeon General, Jerome Adams, I mean, do you want me to keep going? Are making the difference here and providing the solutions and the opportunity. Look, what's done is done. Okay? We can't say, well, we shouldn't have shut down the economy. We already did. We can't say the president was wrong. Well, you know what? Why was he wrong? I believe it's because he's been surrounded by the evil people that want to take him down. Okay? And well, this is an important point to make. I'm not attacking the president here, James. At least I'm not trying to. I'm trying to find ways to support the president.
Well, this is something that people have to remember, is that when you're dealing with a situation like this, which is relatively unprecedented, I mean, nothing's new under the sun, but this is certainly a situation no president has had to face in at least 100 years, going back to the flu of 1918-19. So, at least a once in a 100-year thing here. People expect you to get it immediately right every time. And so,
and I say that's not a fair expectation at all.
Immediately right every time, with every twist and turn, you get it right, you act decisively, and you hit it 100% of the time. Well, I mean, new information is going to come to light. It's not a sign of weakness to change one's mind or go a different course as more information becomes available. So that's one thing. I mean, you can't fault a guy for not getting it right every time. But,
and by the way, let's be clear. I think he's got a lot of this right, by the way. I think there's serious problems, but he's got a lot of it right, James.
I think he's done better than most. I would put it that way. Again, nobody's going to get it nailed 100% of the time when you're dealing with something so wide-ranging. You know, there's such a cascade of related issues, the economy. There's just so much that goes into this. It's going to be hard to put out all of those fires immediately 100% of the time without making a blunder here and there. But with regard to the constitutionality of all this thing, going back to what the Pauls were saying, and of course they're always consistent about this when it comes to the constitutionality of it. We saw earlier this week Trump was saying he had the authority to mandate the 50 governors to do what he wanted to do with regard to the reopening of the economy. He has since walked that back a little bit, as he should have. But what I found interesting about this whole thing, Sam, was the media's reaction to Donald Trump saying he was going to mandate the governors to reopen their economies when he thought it was appropriate. Instantly, across the controlled press, all of these left-wing Democrats, they all love the Constitution all of a sudden. I mean, these guys couldn't care less about the Constitution. But now all of a sudden, they're the ones piping up saying, you know, Trump, you don't have the power over the governors. We have something in this country called states' rights. And have you ever heard of the Constitution? I mean, these people could not have more contempt for the concept of states' rights and individual liberty in the Constitution. But yet, I mean, they certainly didn't have a problem with it in 1861. They didn't have a problem with it in the 1960s. When the National Guard was being mobilized and sent into southern states to quell the issues of the day, they don't have a problem with tyrannical power at all. But when Trump does it, all of a sudden they're constitutionalists, don't you know? I mean, I found that to be so beyond reprehensible. I couldn't even wrap my hands.
All right, hang tight, James Edwards. So Rand Paul now chiming in and saying this. Senator Rand Paul warning President Donald Trump about overreaching on the coronavirus, tweeting that the powers not delegated are reserved to the states and the people. The government doesn't get power just because they show a, quote, Fauci doctor's note.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing Foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various Foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system.
They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no more.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
All right, so President Trump blatantly claiming his authority over this is total. Ron Paul and Rand Paul pushing back big time, saying, wait a minute, just because you have a Fauci doctor's note, that doesn't change the supreme law of the land. So Senator Rand Paul warning President Trump against restriction overreach is what he's calling it. And this is an interesting point. And again, I'm based on principle. Okay, I'm not here to attack the president or anybody. I'm merely saying I don't think anybody has total authority. Okay, the United States is designed to divide with checks and balances vertically and horizontally authority. No one has total authority. Okay, that's just very, very, very simple. And we can debate what the president said. He didn't say it that way or that far. There's quotes on his Twitter channel. When guys like Rand Paul and Ron Paul push back and warn the president's gone too far, in my opinion. Now, Rand and Ron aren't the definitive source either. But I've seen them for years and years and years and years. And they are defenders of the supreme law of the land, big time. So, Kurt, what do you want to respond to this one? I'm saying I don't believe the president has total authority at all. When he suggests he does, I submit that he's wrong.
What I appreciated about the another part on the briefing that dealt with this, and I think that at certain times during these briefings, especially when the reporters, the opposition reporters, are asking him questions, it kind of gets him riled up, I guess you could say, where he gets, you know, kind of ticked off at him. In one kind of back and forth instance there, the way I remember it, he basically said, I can do that. And then he said, well, the presidency can. It's not me, it's the presidency. And what he's, at least what he's, every so often he brings up the point that, hey, I can't lock down the states because that's not part of the Constitution. I don't have those powers. And so I appreciate his efforts to do that, or to point those things out, the separation and that kind of thing. But I also think that in the heat of the moment, sometimes he's basically telling those reporters, hey, you just be quiet. You're lucky to be here, you know, that kind of thing. And so then they're going to do all they can to rile him up and to get him, you know, to say something that can be twisted, brought around and make him look like, quote, the king has spoken or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's probably what happened.
And President Trump has shown restraint after that. I've heard in the news that he's saying, look, I'm not going to tell the governors exactly what to do. I'm going to give them guidance that we need to open quickly. And each governor can, you know, contemplate and figure out what they think is best and go about it the best they can. But I'm going to really encourage them and provide guidance to open the country. That's what he did to close the country, and I respect his willingness to not use mandates, to not use force or orders, and I agree with you on that, Kurt, that you know, there's a balance there. But I would say this, you know, he's mad at the reporters for riling him up, and my response is, why does he even let those reporters attend?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Guys like me can't attend. And what I would ask the president is this: how do we use the dual sovereignty of America? This is the question that I would ask the president if I were there. How do we use the dual sovereignty of America, president? You have certain serious authority, especially in an emergency situation. And the governors have authority as sovereign states. There's dual sovereignty in America. How can you guys work together to open the country as soon as possible? And what can we do as reporters, and what can we do as the public to help? That would be a question that I would ask the president, Kurt.
So do you want me to respond to that?
Sam? I don't know. You could maybe let us know a question you might ask if you were there.
I guess the question I'd ask you is, you said that you've never been able to be there. I don't think I've ever even asked to be there. I don't
even know
how
to
ask ability to be there. Well, first I figure I'd probably have to be in Washington, D.C. if I'm going to be.
I think we can do virtual reporting. We talked about this virtual reporting via Skype and all kinds of things, especially in social distancing. Everybody's going to video conferencing now, Kurt.
Very good, Sam. Yeah.
I would do video conferencing, and I'd invite the good reporters in. I'd invite people like Candace Owens to that event. Virtually speaking is what I would do. Maybe the government doesn't have the conferencing technologies. I can bring some technologies to bear that they could use and stuff like that. But I'm just saying, I don't even know how I would be invited to be there, really. Now, I could,
but you'd,
you know,
be there.
I could drop my, you know, life and try to research and figure out how I would ask to be there or whatever virtually and stuff like that. But, you know, what is there a question that you would ask? Would you like my question?
Your question about
to President
why
Trump.
These people are there?
No, my question about what I would ask the president. I said I would ask the president, hey, president, I believe there's dual sovereignties in America, and both of you and the governors have authority, and I want to know how you guys can work together and what we in the media and what we as the people could do to help open the country again and support both of you.
Okay, let's get back to what I was...
Go ahead, James.
Well, I was just going to say, Kurt, this gets back to what I was saying before the last break. If Rand Paul or Ron Paul are talking about the constitutionality of something or lack thereof, I'll pay attention because they've been consistent on that throughout their whole lives. But I'm reading again here now in the Washington Post right now, the headline, Trump's inaccurate assertion of authority sparks challenge from governors. That's the question, guys. I mean, when has...
See, but all that does is sow the seeds of division, whereas I think Rand Paul and Ron Paul are talking about the Constitution. And my question to President Trump would try to heal that divide and say, hey, we all agree the Constitution is the answer. Whether you agree or not isn't the point. It is the supreme law of the land. And how can we support bringing you guys together and doing what needs to be done here? And I think that's what these petitions are all about as well, right?
When have they ever cared? This goes back to the question I've asked a couple of times now. When has the media ever cared about states' rights, the authority that governors have versus the federal entities? Never. They've always been for imperial overstretch from Washington. They've always been in favor of a giant centralized state. But now, in this case, they're all pro-Constitution. I mean, it's just disgusting.
All right. Anyway, that's the question that I would ask, because I don't believe that question that I would ask is divisionary. And it's not trying to bait the president or pretend that, okay, it's simply expressing that we believe the supreme law of the land is the answer. It's expressing that the governors have plenty of authority, and so does the president of the United States. They have different authorities based on the dual sovereignties of America, according to Justice Antonin Scalia. If you want to dig in further, I can give you a court case and everything else. And I would say, how do we heal this thing? How do we bring you guys together and not debate over authority, but use the authority of the proper rule of government, respecting everybody's duly elected positions? And how do we, the people, and how do we in the media help bring that about? See, that's what my question would be aimed towards trying to accomplish. Kurt?
It would be a very refreshing question, Sam, and I appreciate your effort to make it one that would be, good. I think it's a great question, but I never heard any of those kind of questions in any of these.
Well, you wouldn't, because he invites all the wrong people. He allows all the wrong people to be there.
See, but this thing that you just said, where you said he invites all the wrong people, there's the White House Correspondents Association, which basically, controls that kind of thing.
Shut that unconstitutional thing down.
Yeah, it's not part of the Constitution, but there's this deal basically that says insider group that runs who's in there and who's not. There was a story I sent you a little while back from the One American News Now people who had their person in there, and this individual had buried,
And the mainstream press tried to kick this guy out. And
that White House Correspondents Association thing was in this story, Sam, and they basically, wanted her to be out of there, and the president stood up and said, hey, she could be here just fine. So, as to him inviting, only certain people, I just don't think that's accurate, Sam. And
okay,
so when you tone that that's the way it is, then I think that's a problem.
Okay, I'm saying the president has ultimate decision of who attends his press briefings. I don't care if you have unconstitutional agencies in the way or not. Trump could basically say, if y'all are going to be here, I don't want you to be here. I'm not having it now. And I'm going to record it, and you're going to view it later. There's a lot of choices here, James.
I think he could probably pull rank and overrule this entity that's in charge of bringing the people in, for sure. I mean, or maybe he couldn't. Remember, he tried to get rid of Acosta, and I think Acosta was back a couple of weeks later. But with regard to the checks that are going out to everybody. I mean, what a day this is. Did y'all ever think you'd live long enough that the government would pay you on April 15th instead of the other way around? But, Trump has ordered the Treasury Department has ordered, who is it, the IRS, to include Donald Trump's signature on all the checks that are going out, which I don't necessarily have a problem with. I mean, I understand why he's doing it, of course. He wants everybody to know that Daddy sent the check. But that's going to delay the checks by a couple of weeks, I think, even more. But I'm just saying, if he has the authority to do that, I think he can certainly have the authority to control who comes to the press conferences.
Here's the reason that I
pushed
back.
Well, it's kind of interesting, at least on this signature thing. It's interesting how, like with the Boy Scouts of America, the way it used to be is that if you got your eagle under Obama, then he would sign it. Well, I don't see why it's a problem for the president to want to sign the things that he's doing, that, especially the occasional instance where he might get some credit for it.
Who's saying it's a problem?
Yeah, I don't have a problem.
We're saying
it's a
delay check.
No, but the media says it's a problem because it's going to delay it.
Well,
so that's where the media pulls it around.
Well, if you need the money, delaying the check isn't something you'd be excited about, right? So I don't know that that's a mainstream press manipulation or just a reality of that. But I want to explain something.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump saying parts of the United States could potentially lift stay-at-home orders before the 1st of May. But White House Coronavirus Task Force member Dr. Anthony Fauci says they're going to have to be extremely careful about how the process plays out.
Probably would be a rolling entry into it, with some states actually doing nothing different because they're still in a really difficult situation and you would not want to relax any of the physical separation guidelines, and others that would be doing really much better.
Power is still out at tens of thousands of homes and businesses across the South after storms killed at least 34 people earlier this week. As of this morning, some 70,000 customers still had no electricity in Arkansas, with major interruptions in Kentucky, Mississippi, and South Carolina as well. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
When you hear all this stuff on the radio, you know, you're like, yeah, right. So when I heard the Balance of Nature commercial, I was like, yeah, right. You know, how can those pills give you more energy? But the amazing thing is it does. It works. All the claims of Balance of Nature work. I mean, I have more energy. Before I started taking Balance of Nature, I would walk up the hill from feeding the horses and I'd just be dragging. And I'm like, I hate feeling this way. I've got years more to live. I don't want to feel tired all the time. And now I have plenty of energy. I used to have to, you know, always say, okay, I'm going to take a nap at 2 o'clock because I'm so tired I can't stand it, you know, and now I'm taking a nap in weeks.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 800-2468-751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
The April 15th tax deadline would normally hit today, but it's been extended for 3 months because of the coronavirus pandemic. But a new Harris poll out today finds only 43% of people surveyed are taking advantage of the extension and waiting until July to file their tax returns. Oprah Winfrey sounding an alarm about the seriousness of coronavirus and its disproportionate effects on the African American community. In the latest installment of her Oprah Talks COVID-19 series, Winfrey spoke with Hoda Kotb of NBC's Today Show about the impact of the illness on the black community, drawing attention to those suffering from pre-existing conditions.
If you are taking medication, I think it's important for African-American, we to understand for ourselves that this is so serious. It's taking us out.
This is USA Radio News.
Let me explain the reason that I go so hard on who's attending these briefings and what can be done about it. How much time in the briefings is spent on the Q&A portion, Kurt?
Probably... The percentage would probably be about 5%.
Only about 5%? So if it's an hour long, there's 5 minutes for questions, that's it? Or, I'm sorry. If it's an hour long, there'd be 3 minutes for questions?
Well, it's, you know, I'd say it's very small amount part of the time. And yet, it's the most,
focused on part.
I mean, combative part. Yeah. Well, yeah, when the media is trying to get something that they can bleed at lead part, you know, they're going to use that.
Yeah, and the problem is, when is it bleeds at leads? When Rand Paul tweets and says, hey, President, just because you have a doctor's note from Fauci, that doesn't mean that you can, act like you're a dictator. He doesn't say those words. He basically says, hey, you don't have authority like you think you do in this. I'm going to warn you from overreach. Is that media hysteria when Rand Paul does that? Or is that just attacking the president, or do you find that to be a legitimate tweet from Rand Paul, Kurt?
Well, the media hysteria part would be if you, say it the way you first said it, and then the way you secondly said it would be the accurate report.
And tell me the difference.
Well, to me, one just, is the bleed it lead part, and the other one is what actually was said.
Yeah, and I guess to me the difference is how you look at it, right? You know, Rand Paul would say, hey, unconstitutionally, president, you don't have, or constitutionally speaking, president, you don't have that authority just because you have a doctor's note. I'm going to warn you from overreach. Sam would say, hey.
And then you'd follow that, and then you'd follow that with the president's response where he said, hey, you know, that's my job is to do basically what the president's supposed to do. The governors are supposed to do what they're supposed to do. And you'd point out.
Did President Trump say that? I'm supposed to do what I'm supposed to do and the governors are supposed to do. Did he say that? I'd like to see that. I haven't seen that anywhere.
Yeah, well, you admitted that out of all the press briefings, you've seen about four of them out of 75. So I think you probably haven't, you know, just like each of us, we're each affected by the press or the information that we look at. And so, in other words, if you, like I don't ever go to the New York Times place. I know that you do. Because you have a connection to it or whatever. But I
don't know that I have a connection to it. I watch it because most of the time they have a take on the news. Oftentimes there's details in there that you can't get elsewhere. So I go there to keep an eye on what they're saying and doing, yes. And nine times out of ten, I have an alternative view compared to the story that I'm quoting from, right? I don't agree with them much. I do quote from them a lot. And highlight because, look, most of the nation's watching that source. Same with CNN, right? And my job partly is to create a counterbalance to what they're saying and doing and claiming and everything else. But so, you know, I don't know where we go with this in terms of authority, but here's what I do know. Rand Paul now has recovered from the coronavirus. He is using his skills as a physician to help people out with the coronavirus. He is warning President Trump against overreach on coronavirus restrictions and saying to the president, you don't have authority just because you have a doctor's note. Rand Paul also says that he recovered from the coronavirus. And when he got the coronavirus, he had zero symptoms, which he has since recovered from. He said, I had no symptoms, never had a headache, never had a body ache, never had a fever, never had a cough. I didn't really have any symptoms at all, he says. In fact, I would have never went to the doctor except for they told me that I was in contact with people who had the coronavirus, so I felt like I should check, and I turned up positive. Other than that, I had no side effects. In that article, he says, believe it or not, now that we're testing with antibodies, 50% of the people, listen carefully, 50% of the people that test positive literally have no side effects. And now I got a second. I got a second story that vouches for Rand Paul's point or statement. That says this. Let me try to find this here. It's a Chicago story. And it basically says that in Chicago, they've done testing now, and 50% of the people who test positive, meaning that they have antibodies, who are now over the coronavirus, never even knew they had it. And this is the kind of information that I'd like to see be in the press briefings. So I might ask another question saying, Rand Paul is saying that 50% of the people tested have never had symptoms. And Rand Paul never had symptoms, President. And so now the Chicago study comes out. People don't have. Might it be that many more of us have had this coronavirus than we think? And might it be that there's no way to prevent the spread if 50% of the people who have already had it never even knew they had it? I'm not so sure that we can prevent the spread at all under any social distancing or any circumstantial reality. Let's speak to that for a minute and talk about, hey, that information hasn't been really talked about anywhere that I see except for some, Rand Paul sources, for instance, or this other Chicago source that I have that I didn't trust until Rand Paul came out with it. Now I've got two sources, so I give it a little bit more credence. What do you think about that, James?
Well, you and I were both sick around the same time a month or two ago, and I mean, who's to say that we didn't have this? And, I chuckled a little bit at Rand Paul's honesty, saying that if he wasn't forced to have been tested, he would have never known he had it. You know, so not hardly a miraculous recovery there. He never had even the slightest of symptoms.
Now, is it being contrarian or causing trouble in the media if I ask that question? Because I think it's an important discussion to have about, you know, how many people have already had it?
Oh, well, I can guarantee you many, many, many times more than the numbers of reported infected cases that we have at this very moment.
So if we know the numbers are all faked and there's money being passed out to pump up the numbers and everything else, why are we watching the numbers daily, and why do we even care if way more people have already had it and never even known it and they don't care and they're already basically got natural immunity to it now? Why are we even worried about the numbers at all?
Yep. No, it's a great question. It's a great question. It goes back to the original position of herd immunity and what's really going on here. What really are they trying to accomplish? What are their schemes and designs? And of course, all of that can be debated. But with regards to the number of people who are going to, I mean, you know that it has a less than 3%, somewhere around 2% kill rate. Normally, in people with underlying conditions, if you believe,
I don't think it's even close to that number.
Exactly, that's what I was saying. If you believe the numbers that they give you now,
and that's the problem with the numbers they're giving us now. Now, remember, Rand Paul is a physician as well. It's not like there's just some yahoo out there. This is a senator and a man that's a physician himself, right?
That's right.
Wow. All right. Antibody testing in Chicago shows that 50% of the people have already had it and didn't even know. Rand Paul saying the same thing now. All right. Some governors are beginning to reopen the country. They say we don't have to wait till May 1st to open the country. Texas Governor Greg Abbott leading this focus, Kurt.
Well, that's refreshing if you ask me. Sam.
Amen.
And
couldn't agree more. I want to know what I got to do to help my governor follow suit. Right? Maybe we need to create a petition to our governor, Kurt.
Well, yeah, I think that's what we do on a daily basis, petition our governor. We hope that he'll listen to us, you know, and take the words of advice that we try to give him.
Amen. And that's why we do it, by the way. And that's why I'm backing Rand Paul and Ron Paul on this government overreach thing and saying, President, be careful. I get that it's easy to say that you have control, but I also get the supreme law of the land, and based on principle, hey, we divide power, and we have checks and balances built into the system on purpose, and let's remember that. I think that's an important deal, but what do you think? Some governors, to begin reopening the economy, they don't even want to wait till May 1st, James. I think that's good news.
Yeah, I think it's the right thing to do. I mean, again, I opened the show today saying that, you know, there have been some things as a result of this mass hysteria and societal madness that have been good. I mean, I certainly like to see these evil corporations lose money. I like that the borders closed. I like that everybody's a homeschooling family now. I mean, did you think that would have literally every family's a homeschooling family as of this moment, at least for a little while longer. We've taken away the bread and circuses of sports and the vapid consumerism that has become so synonymous with being an American. So, you know, on one hand, it's going to be sad to see all of this go away because I think it's probably been very healthy for families. But on the other hand, obviously, the actions that were taken were just not warranted based upon the very unimpressive numbers.
All right. Now, the government is going to be reopened hopefully sooner than later. I think that's good news because I believe we were snookered on the numbers and the details and the information. Now you can track your stimulus check if you don't have it already via the irs.gov website. It's irs.gov/EIP, Echo India Papa. irs.gov/EIP. You can check the status of your check. The question, let's just do a poll on the radio. I got my check. Did you get yours, James?
No, Sam. We got to talk about this when we come back.
All right. Did you get yours, Kurt?
Yep.
All right. So 2 out of 3 dentists surveyed. I'm just joking. 2 out of 3 talk show hosts surveyed got their check 66% already, just like President Trump and his administration promised. The mainstream mocked him on that, too.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, 4 grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved 4 checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
How many times do I have to tell you?
I swear, it just goes in one ear and out the other.
Don't you understand English?
Your children are probably too polite to tell you.
Hello, those things on the side of your head aren't turnips.
But they get just as frustrated when you won't listen to them as you do when they won't listen to you.
Do I need to speak slower?
In fact, few things show children how much they're valued and respected more than a parent's willingness to listen.
Tell me what you did at work today.
Studies show when parents listen, children develop better listening skills themselves. They also tend to have more self-confidence and are more likely to avoid alcohol and drugs.
Now sit down here and tell me all about it.
When you really listen, love is what they'll hear.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
All right, you got to set aside the very controversial issue if you think checks should go out in the first place, because that'll divide patriots like you've never seen before. But you know what? President Trump promised checks would go out through his administration and through the press briefings within a couple of weeks. And the mainstream press and the liberals and extremists mocked him until the cows came home. Oh, come on, you can never get that done. You know what? Donald Trump has kept his promise. Checks are going out daily. Over 80 million people have already got checks, from what I understand. Two out of three talk show hosts on your radio now, Sam, James, and Gert, have already got their checks. I got $3,900. And you say, well, Sam, why would you tell everybody how much you got? Because I want people to understand. It's $1,200 per adult. Me and my wife are both adults. Neither of us make more than $75,000. So we got the whole thing. And then we got $500 per child under 17 years old. So we got, you know, $1,200, $1,200, $500, $500, $500. Total of $3,900. That's what we got. What happened to you, Kurt?
$2,400.
Okay. So you didn't have any children that were young enough. But you did get the amount for you and your wife. And I'm bringing this up so that people understand what was promised and what was delivered on. And this is an example where, you know what, I try to give credit where credit's due. I know people are down on me saying you just hate everybody and you're just, you know, in a destructive broadcast every day. But this is an example where President Trump made promises and he's been keeping them, and they thought he could never do it. And the fact is, he's done it. You got to give credit. Go ahead, James.
Well, you're 100% right. I mean, frankly, I can't even sign on to my bank, my online banking, through the app or through the website. I try to do it during the commercial break to check because their system is swamped. I know I've had friends texting me throughout the entire broadcast. We've been talking about this, of course, in anticipation. And I know that one of my cousins got his this morning. One of my best friends, another one of my best friends, his parents got theirs. So they are being delivered, it looks like. I mean, I know it's supposed to be kind of staggered out, but basically everybody that I've talked to about this, especially now that you and Kurt have confirmed that.
Yeah, if you have filed digitally where they already have your banking account information, they've already said that. If you know what, if you've, you know, followed the process where it's easy to distribute the money, you'll get your money quickly. And literally the mainstream press mocked President Trump till the cows came home. This is where President Trump has kept his promise, and you got to give him a huge kudos. He has accomplished something that hitherto in government has never been done before that I know of, which is an efficient carrying out of the promise. Kurt, and then James.
Well, yeah.
Well, and I agree with that last statement in such a huge way. When I see, I remember watching one of the press briefings, and you know, the president's talking about the need for testing, you know, because all these experts said, hey, man, we got to have tests and verify who's got it and who doesn't, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so he went to work with these different companies. One of them in particular is called Abbott, I think. And so while the expert's standing there talking at the mic, he's standing over on the right side of him, or, you know, as I look at him, the right side, at a table, and he's opening up the box with one of these testing devices on it. Now, I mean, that's a hands-on, you know, get it done kind of guy. And, you know, so many times it was like, the FDA would tell him stuff like, well, we'll get that done in about a year and a half. And he's like, well, I called him up and they said it could be done next week. You know, and you just see this time and time again. And it's so refreshing to actually get government to, do some good stuff.
Well, and there you go. And so I try to give the president credit whenever credit's due to the best of my ability. I don't try to just attack him and down him, but I try to be fair. And just because I may like the president, by the way, believe it or not, I like the president more now than I did before, because I think he's done a lot of good in the country. And I have done my best to focus on that good and give him the credit for that good. But I'm not going to be a go along to get along guy because I like the president, and I'm not going to ignore some of these concerns that start to happen. When he promotes this Fauci guy, it's a disaster. And everybody that I know that's conservative is calling for Fauci to go away. Okay, when President Trump is, letting us rely on these numbers, he needs to be transparent and say the numbers are flat out bogus. Okay, he needs to do that. It's not that I want to attack the president, but we've got to know. We can't run around and criticize China for bogus numbers and act like our numbers are the Holy Grail. They're not even close. They're as fraudulent as China's. Okay, that needs to be highlighted, folks. It really does, because you can't trust our numbers. And if you say, well, our numbers are better than theirs, okay, so we're just going to debate whose numbers are worse or more inaccurate? Okay. Well, now TV personality Ryan Seacrest, well-known American Idol guy, and et cetera, he's donating $1 million to the coronavirus relief efforts in both New York and Los Angeles. See, I'd like to see that in the press briefing. Kurt highlights these stories a lot, so I wanted to bring, you know, when I find them to the table, too. That's good news, Kurt.
I agree.
Good for Ryan Seacrest. And I hope more and more people do that. Now, I guess President Trump, though, had a secret conversation with Joe Biden. And now Biden is spilling details of the coronavirus call with Trump after both agreed to keep it confidential. Now,
well, yeah,
I don't know what's up with that.
At
Kurt,
least in the press briefing, I heard the president say that he did take a call from the former vice president, and they agreed to keep the details of the call, confidential.
Yep.
And not secret, but confidential.
Okay.
And, you know, when two people agree to talk and then they keep, you know, and they say, hey, let's keep this to ourselves, you know, then I appreciate somebody actually doing what they said they'd do. Apparently, Joe Biden, you know, doesn't do what he said he'd do.
That's right. Right? So do you, what do you think? Do you think it's secret or confidential? So Joe has Donald's number, which I don't understand how. I can't get the president's number no matter how hard I try. And nobody I know, people who have won at the Supreme Court, people who have, you know, I know a lot of people in a lot of pretty influential places, and nobody that I know can get me President Trump's phone number at all. But Joe just has it on speed dial, I guess, to call President Trump. And President Trump takes his call and then says, hey, we're going to talk and we're going to keep it confidential. Are you comfortable with that, James? I'm not. Kurt might be fine with it, but I'm not fine with it.
Well, I mean, you know, of course, there's always the call that comes in after any given election where the victor consoles the vanquished or the vanquished.
How does that even happen? Where do they get each other's personal cell numbers?
Well, I guess.
Is it a breach when the leader of the Democratic Party has the president's phone number? And is that a concern to you at all?
Well, again, this is the front runner for the other party, so I guess they're going to talk, you know, occasionally. They're going to see each other. They're going to debate, I guess, you know.
Yeah, but that's different from taking a personal phone call and then a confidential phone call.
Of all the things I could be concerned about, that's probably not at the top of the list, but...
Well, and it concerns me that Joe has greater access to the president than Sam. And Sam's more on President Trump's team by far than Joe.
Yeah, well, that's for sure.
All right. Anyway, so President Trump,
you probably have some information that your audience would be good to know. A quick funny story going back to with what Kurt was saying about these payouts and the expediency with which the Trump administration got them delivered. For my personal situation, I normally have to pay in, and if I do, on the rare years where I do have a little bit of a refund, I always apply it to my next year's taxes. So I've never actually gotten a refund, so I don't have, they don't have my banking account information. So I guess I'm going to have to wait on the paper check, which they say could take actually quite some time. We'll see. I've read reports that it's going to be as early as, you know, May, as late as August, and anywhere in between. But I will tell you this. I'm in a bowling league, okay, and there's 12 teams in the bowling league, five people on a team. They have a president, a vice president, a secretary, a treasurer, and then the team captains make up the board of directors. But you have your own little government here for this bowling league of about, what, 70 people? And when the bowling league was canceled a month ago, the administration was charged with distributing the prize fund. But they can't get into the bowling alley because nobody's going to work. So I'm just saying the point is the federal government, the Trump administration, has actually delivered these checks more quickly than a bowling alley could disperse a prize fund to 70 people. So that's you got to give him a thumbs up on that. But what was the website again, Sam, for the people who can check and for the people who are going to get checks or are due to receive paper checks? I think there's a way that they can actually put in their account information.
Yeah, I already gave that to you, buddy.
Okay, yeah, I tried to put it in, though. I couldn't remember. That's what I'm asking again.
Yeah, I already gave that to you, man. It's irs.gov/EIP, brother.
Okay, I put IEP. That would do
nope.
it. Okay,
EIP, economic whatever package. I can't remember what it is, right. But it's EIP, Echo India Papa. And you can get that, and you can go ahead and follow up on it. Now, I agree with Kurt that if you're going to have a confidential conversation, you should keep it confidential. I agree completely with that. My problem is that Biden now is saying, hey, I gave President Trump five suggestions, and he's detailing the suggestions he gave and the responses he gave. And, well, to me, President Trump is following a lot of what Biden said. Whether it's because Biden said it or not, I don't know. But I'm just not comfortable with guys like, you know, Ron Paul and Rand Paul and, you know, some of these people, Dr. Shiva, this Scott doctor from Minnesota, Sam Bushman. We can't seem to get our influence really to the president on anything at all. Now, Kim Kardashian can, and Joe Biden can, but you and I can't. When I say you and I, meaning Kurt, Sam, James, Sheriff Richard Mack, anybody that I know, simply can't. And I'm merely highlighting that as a concern. Now, I agree, though, that President Trump should keep a conversation that he promised to keep confidential. I agree. James?
Well, I was just going to say, I think the Kardashian, the Kardashian example, you know, drives your point home with that much more force. I mean, now that truly is ridiculous.
Why do you give special privilege to Joe?
Well, I mean, because he's the nominee of the Democratic Party. He's the one guy you're running.
No, he's not the nominee of the Democratic Party yet. They don't have a nominee. They haven't even had their event to nominate somebody at all.
This is true.
He's what they call a presumptive nominee, sir.
That's true. Well, because he's the presumptive nominee, let's just say that. But
so he gets special privilege for being the presumptive nominee?
Sure. I mean, because we presume he's going to be the nominee.
I don't see it that he should have special privilege at all. In fact, I see with the Democratic National Committee literally committing fraud to try to take down the president, that's one of the last guys you'd want to be having a secret or confidential conversation with.
If you've seen any of his recent interviews, I'm surprised Biden could even remember having talked to Trump enough to tell people to betray the confidence. But did he actually say what they said?
Well, he did, yes. Joe Biden did. President Trump, of course, has kept the confidence, which I agree with Kurt on this, that I commend President Trump for keeping the confidence. My concern is who's able to get to and who's able to surround the president concerns me greatly, because I believe the president means well and would do right if he could get the right people around him. That's the reason that I bring it up. Kurt? All right, I don't know what happened to Kurt. What do you think, James? I bring it up for that reason, that I want the president to be surrounded by people like Rand Paul, like people like Dr. Shiva, like people like this state senator from whatever it is, Minnesota. Okay, I want him to be surrounded by physicians and people who have the expertise and knowledge, who are willing to tell the truth and highlight what should be done, what the real response ought to be. I want people like the Texas governor that wants to open up the economy. I want those people to be surrounding the president.
Yeah, that's right.
That's my goal. That's what I'm after. That's why I'm bringing this up.
If you're going to pick and choose who gets the direct line, I know there'll be people with good advice. And I think we all agree that betraying your confidence, especially at the public and important level, is obviously poor form.
I hope people see it for what it is and Joe doesn't have a chance now. Because I think Trump's right to keep the confidence. I agree with Kurt on that. You got a final word, Kurt? All right, I don't know what happened to Kurt. We lost him. We'll try to get him back. Nevertheless, hopefully, folks, this has been educational. There's a lot coming out in the news about what's going on with this thing. And we've been betrayed for the most part. I don't even know by who. But I know this. They've literally changed America, and they've probably destroyed the economy for many, even with the stimulus checks going out today. And I hope we can recover and get the country back up and running yesterday. That's my prayer and our hope. For Sam, Kurt, and James, God save the Republic of the United States of America.